opinion are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We are at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Pruse, and if you want to call into today's fantastic, incredible, one-of-a-kind show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Now, why is this a one-of-a-kind, fantastic, incredible show? Because it's the last Wednesday of the month, which means
Joni Skillbred's on talking about history.
That's right. And what's our history subject today? It's a great one, first of all. Fairbanks, you're spellbound with this.
North Pole's Christmas Past.
The history thereof.
Yes. Why is North Pole called North Pole?
Yeah.
And how did it get this whole Christmas theme thing? How did all of that happen? And most people think that it was Con and Nellie Miller, and not quite. So,
hate to rain on the parade.
No, it's a little more convoluted than that. But
convoluted—that's a big word.
Yeah. So this is. I got asked by Howard Rixey, who's the president of the North Pole Chamber of Commerce.
Great guy.
If I would be their keynote speaker at their big annual dinner that they have and everything. And it was 1960s themed. It was a lot of fun. I got to have dinner next to Santa. Santa was sitting with me. That was really cool. And... So it was about the history of North Pole. Mm-hmm. And so to do the history of an entire community, oh my gosh, in that amount of time, that's like way more material than there is time to talk. So I decided to focus on how it is that North Pole came to be called North Pole and why it is the Christmas city. And that narrows it down considerably. And so when I started looking into that, I was really surprised. I mean, I thought...
History always surprises you when you go to discover it.
It kind of does.
Yeah.
And, you know, I... Okay, truth be told, I...
No, don't tell
was
the truth.
North
no,
Pole.
No, no, no.
I lived in North Pole a few times growing up. Yeah, well, I grew up mostly at Eielson, mm-hmm. but I lived at 15 and a half mile Old Rich. And I went to North Pole Elementary, and I went to North Pole High School, and all my kids graduated from North Pole High School.
You know, I got to tell a story about the rivalry between Fairbanks and North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
It starts early in our family. My dad had this El Camino, and he had three boys, and would go duck hunting or fishing out at Healy Lake. We had a cabin. This is in the late 60s. And we'd be driving out, and you're going on the Richardson Highway, which was now mm-hmm. the Old Rich. And we'd get to the North Pole area, and my dad would look at us three boys, and he'd say, "Lock the doors, keep your eyes peeled, they're sort of goofy out here."
Well, I encountered being somebody who had lived in North Pole and who had attended school in North Pole. When you come to Fairbanks, people go, "Oh, you're from North Pole." You know, they have that way of lowering their voice when they say it that tells you that, you know, North Pole's like the stepchild.
I know. So how did it all happen?
Well, interestingly enough, this all kind of starts in 1951 in May when there was a Pan American pilot who flew what they called the flying gas tank from Oslo over the pole to Fairbanks. And this set off a North Pole fever. And then, I don't know, several weeks later, there was another flight made. And everybody's got this over the pole, you know, these are these first over the pole flights.
Mm-hmm.
And Alaska Airlines decided to cash in on this. And they're going to do an over the pole flight. And that's kind of how it all started. But before you can go to North Pole, you have to look at what was there before. And our story actually starts with Ladfield, and World War II Ladfield was established. And then they built, after the war, they built Eielson Air Force Base. And there was a lot of post-war development as the Cold War ramped up. The United States, the federal government poured gobs and gobs and gobs of money into Ladfield, which turned into Fort Wainwright, and Eielson Air Force Base during those Cold War years. And North Pole lies in between the two. Well, at the same time that Ladfield, and you know, was winding down because they were building Eielson, and this time right after the war, you had Alaska here in the interior opened up for homesteading. And there were quite a few people who homesteaded in the area of North Pole. And some of those original homesteaders, now, you know, you're talking more than 100 acres. Some of them got close to 300 acres, wasn't it?
160 acres. For
160.
Quarter okay. section.
Yeah, so this is a lot of land.
Yeah.
And so you have Bon and Bernice Davis, and they got subdivided into the Davis and Sequoia subdivisions, and their homestead later became part of it, the city of mm-hmm. North Pole, the okay. core part of the city. Jim and Grace Ford, and their homestead was mostly over by where the North Pole High School is today, and that subdivision
over
there. Yeah,
all those big, nice homes where Perry Wally lives.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah.
Perry, I hope you're listening. You'll learn about
your place. We're not stalkers.
Yeah. Forbes Baker had the Beaver subdivision. Chuck and Elaine Hawks had Hawks Farm and Gardens. They still
Hawks
operate.
Greenhouse, yeah.
Yeah, they still operate a greenhouse. The Loomis brothers were at 12 Mile Village. Evan Miller was at 12 Mile Village. Jim and Sophie Bradley, and they had the Bradley Sky Ranch, which is still being used today, I believe. Howard Jones had Aching Acres Farm. And Bill Lewis was the founder of the Eielson Grange, which today we call the North Pole Grange.
Hmm.
And to stake one of these homesteads, you had to do a lot of paperwork. And then after you got the initial paperwork in, then you had to do the real work. You had to build a structure. You had to plant crops. You had to clear land. It was backbreaking work. Most of these people that homesteaded didn't have any money. And, you know, they ended up living in some pretty crude conditions. So the Bon Davis homestead is where the city ended up being on
Davis
part of that.
Davis subdivision.
Davis subdivision, yes. And so Bon and Bernice Davis, their son grew up to be kind of a famous Fairbanks person in his own right because he was Professor Neil Davis up at the university, and he was associated with the Poker Flat
Research.
Rocket Range. And so this was Neil's parents. And Neil grew up out in North Pole, which, you know, is pretty interesting. And he went on to go to UAF and to be a professor there.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We have Joni Skillbred in the studio here. We're talking about how the North Pole basically was founded. And we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Backed by popular demand, the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center reintroduces Walk-In Wednesdays from 8 to 4. Bring in your hearing aids to have them cleaned and adjusted, even if you purchase them somewhere else. This will keep your aides running at their best, making sure you don't miss anything. And if you're struggling with hearing loss, you can come in and get a second opinion to see if there's something available to help you hear better. Walk-In Wednesdays from your friends at the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. Find out more at fairbankshearing.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Frontier Outfitters. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Hey, it's Craig Campo inviting you to kick back with me by the campfire every Saturday for the Outdoor Show. We'll be talking about living the Alaskan outdoor dream with fascinating guests, even some favorite stories and memories from a lifetime spent on the trails and waterways, hunting, fishing, and camping across this great state. Join me, Craig Campo, for the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Campos since 1945. Listen in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. for the Outdoor Show right here on KFAR Radio.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with highs around 28. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. 23 tonight, cloudy. Highs around 36. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. A slight chance for snow changing to rain showers. Friday, with highs in the upper 30s, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Saturday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Joni Skillbred in the studio with me here, and we are looking at the history of North Pole and how it became
the Christmas
North Pole.
City. The Christmas City. Yes. Yes, the tackiest town in Alaska.
We have a phone call here we'll take real fast. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, Tom Kennedy.
Tom, what are you up to?
Hey, I'm curious if she's been studying these homesteads. My great uncle was a colonel from Isles, and his name was Dick Roberts.
Uh-huh.
And my great aunt, her name was Marcella Roberts. And supposedly they homesteaded right across from where the Salcher Roadhouse is.
Oh, that's a little further south than
North
Pole.
Yeah, that's Salcha.
If you did any studies, you know, if you were doing stories on it, I've always been curious about the guy. I guess they called him Rotten Roberts. He was kind of a character.
Do you remember what years this was?
It was back in the 60s.
In the 60s? Probably early 60s, because they stopped homesteading about 64, 65.
They were here up. He was like a... like the base commander in the late 50s, and I think he homesteaded right towards the end of his time.
Okay, wow.
Anyway,
about
it.
Yeah, the history that we bring up. Thank you for the phone call, Tom. Really appreciate
it. You guys have a fabulous day.
You too, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye.
So the Davis homestead was established, and they subdivided. Before North Pole became North Pole, you know, he did a little bit of subdividing, not a lot, but he did start subdividing. And the Davises, so it was already known that there was going to be a town there. And that really surprised me. I saw a plat that I got, Nick Nugent gave me this data stick right before I did this show. And on that data stick, there were some plat maps from all over.
Mm-hmm.
And on there was a plat of the town site of North Pole. And the streets were already named, and they were named for the children of all these homesteaders in the area.
Oh, okay.
And so these all ended up getting changed to Christmas-themed names, you know, like Santa Claus Lane and Mistletoe and, you know, the reindeer names and all of that. But originally, all of that was going to be named after the children
of the homesteaders.
The homesteaders and the family names. So it was already going to be a town. The steps were already being taken. And when I researched this, one of the things that I saw was Neil Davis's dad, Bon Davis, was asked if he would go back to the state planning board. It was some governmental agency, and it had to do
territorial.
To change some stuff, and that was the stuff that needed to be changed. Mm-hmm. And it didn't make any sense when I first read that. And this was in Bon Davis wrote a book about it, and this was in his account. But I didn't understand what that change was until I saw that map. That plat map, and I went, oh my gosh, you know, there was already going to be plans for a town to eventually be built there. So I would have to credit Bon Davis with the founding of the original idea to have a town there, which it was halfway between these two communities, two bases. And so obviously you're going to need something.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it became the North Pole, that it became North Pole, was everybody got North Pole fever about these over-the-pole flights.
Starting in the 50s, early 50s.
Yes, in 1951. And Alaska Airlines decided, we're going to cash in, and they're going to do this over-the-pole flight. And they talked about it, and word broke here in Fairbanks. And one thing about Fairbanks, if you look at its history, is the Fairbanks Commercial Club, and then later on the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce, they reached out. There was no such thing as a dumb idea with them. And they would capitalize on any little thing that was new to come to town in hopes that it would grow and make money for the community. They were very aggressive about that. And that's part of the reason why Fairbanks has survived and has become what it is today. Is, you know, there were a lot of entrepreneurial-minded people involved in this. So they saw this opportunity. Well, we can cash in. And there was a guy up in Barrow who said, well, if they're going to fly over the North Pole needs to have a red and white striped pole dropped out of the plane and onto the North Pole itself. Now, you know, the North Pole, there's no land there. It's just frozen ice.
Moving ice, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. We got to do this. So he gets part of it made, and then it goes to the Northern Commercial Company, and they get the rest of it done. And this barbershop or barber pole
yeah,
with a gold ball on top is loaded into this Alaska Airlines plane. Now, so this makes the paper. Everybody gets the fever. So then we're going to turn this into a carnival event. And all of Fairbanks jumps on board. Everybody just goes nuts over this. And the next thing you know, there's a parade. There's dog races. There's North Pole Nelly. And this was, we want, it was also, real name was Audrey Vance. We want kids from all over the lower 48 to write letters to Santa. North Pole Nelly is going to answer these. Well, all of a sudden, there's all this potential economic activity. Today, we have a similar thing. We use these festivals, and we have these street fairs and these little carnivals and stuff. It's the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's trying to cash in on this. And North Pole Nelly cashed in really big. And all of a sudden, I mean, this story breaks. It was such a captivating story. It made headlines all over the lower 48. And thousands of letters are coming here from people writing to Santa, wanting to, you know, giving them their Christmas lists and, you know, hi, Santa, this is where I live, blah, blah, blah. And they have a team of people who are answering these letters. And they turned this into something really big, and everybody had North Pole fever. So
now they needed a North Pole.
Well, the plane went over, the pole was dropped, and it was a huge success. And everybody was thrilled. And some of the people that were involved in the promoting of this didn't want this to die. They wanted this to continue because they saw the economic potential to cash in on this. And they wanted this to continue. How can we make this continue? We need to have some place called North Pole. And then, so this little group of people got together. Well, if we do this, oh my gosh, just think, we can have a park. We could get reindeer. We could have Santa's house, you know, the whole bit. And I mean, they just, their imaginations just ran wild with it. And so when we come back, I'll talk about how they tried to get that to implement a bigger plan for North Pole.
Oh, well, we still got a few minutes.
Oh, we do. Yeah. Okay, well, your clock is wrong.
That's not my clock, first of all. That's Perry Wally's clock, and it's obviously North Korean.
Well, I apologize.
The North Korean clocks do not give you the right time.
So there was a gin joint out on South Cushman called the Squadron Club, and this was a notorious bar. And it had a plane, and you went through the fuselage of the plane, and you went into this, I would call it a shack, and they had girls there. They advertised girls. It was one of the bars where lots of bad things happened, and everybody, it was packed all the time because everybody wanted to be there. The South Cushman area was not incorporated in the city of Fairbanks back at that time. And so it was decided by these people who were involved in this North Pole stuff to hold a community meeting in the Squadron Club to make the South Cushman area its own town. And it was going to be called North Pole.
Ooh.
Yes. Much to the chagrin of the city council.
That explains a lot. South Fairbanks hasn't been the same since.
So they had this meeting there, standing room only, and they signed a petition, and it was on January 11th, 1952. 1 month later.
Denied.
And it was denied on technicalities because I think there were three names that were repeated twice in the petition.
Ooh.
Which really upset some people, you know, when you upset the apple cart in that way on a technicality like that. It usually doesn't sit too well.
No, it does not.
So, but it was denied. So now they know that they're not going to be able to have South Cushman be North Pole.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a little bit of a break here. We have some Ace of Base bumper music, whatever that is. We have some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather, and we will be back.
Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live.
News, I'm John Saucier. Hurricane Melissa making landfall in Jamaica yesterday is a Category 5 storm. Jamaica's Minister of Education, Skills, Youth, and Information, Dana Morris-Dixon, with an update on the recovery efforts.
77% of the country is without electricity. There is work that's going to be done to bring that up as quickly as we can, but that is a large number.
Congress struggling to pass funding legislation and the ongoing government shutdown in its 29th day now. New Jersey Senator Cory Booker says millions of Americans are dealing with a health care crisis because of the actions of President Trump and Republicans.
Donald Trump promised to bring people's prices down. He's done the exact opposite. He should come to the table and negotiate with us to help people through this health care crisis. Nightmare.
Republicans are calling on Democrats to vote for a short-term spending bill and reopen the government at the current funding levels through most of next month, giving both sides more time to negotiate health care. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Alaska's news source reports after several decades, a failed ferry project, and an unfinished railroad connection, some are hopeful the near future may hold new developments for the Kinnick Arms second port, Port McKenzie. Between a couple of new projects at the port and renewed interest from the federal government, Port Director Dave Griffin believes it's only a matter of time before they see increased traffic. Port McKenzie is doing business with the world, and that's one of the reasons we call it South Central Alaska's gateway to the interior and the world, Griffin said. A new fuel terminal and barge haul-out facility are planned for construction at the port, the latter funded by a U.S. DOT grant. Though Griffin sees much more than that for the future, hoping to specialize not in container cargo like the Port of Alaska just a mile and a half away, but in industrial bulk. Whether it's coal, mining ore, agricultural products, wood fiber, wood products, Griffin said, any of those sort of bulk commodities can all come through Port McKenzie. Griffin's optimism comes from increased interest in industrial development, such as the proposed gas line.
Online at KFAR660.com.
Golden Heart City, get ready to pump up the kids. This holiday season, Last Frontier Media Active is proud to carry on a local legacy, the Adopt-A-Family program, started by Love Inc. way back in 1995. And we're keeping the tradition with help from Napa Auto Care Group, Lotto Alaska, Kumon, and Samart Automotive. You can help families right here in our community by providing toys, clothes, and holiday essentials that make a real difference. This holiday season, we will continue the tradition of connecting families in need with generous adopters like you. Starting November 10th, tune in to learn how to adopt a family or donate. Let's keep the spirit alive, because together we can make this holiday season shine brighter than ever. Pump up the kids, adopt a family, because every family deserves to feel the magic of the holidays.
A special thank you goes to Lotto Alaska and the members of the Napa Auto Care Group, like Frontline Automotive, Gabe's Truck and Auto,
plus Kumon and Samard Automotive. Go to KFARradio.com for all the details.
Hale & Associates has a new home, TruCordia, a name that blends trust and accord, the values they've always lived by. As part of a top U.S. insurance broker, they've invested in tools, technology, and services that make it easier than ever to protect what matters most. Your same local team is here, ready to deliver exceptional service while connecting you to expanded solutions and industry-leading expertise. If you have any questions, please let their team know by calling 907-456-6671. Hale & Associates is now TruCordia. Trust. Harmony. Service.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at KFARradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. David Prue's in the studio here with Joni Skillbred. It's the last Wednesday of the month, which means it's history, and we're going through how North Pole became the Santa Claus capital of the world.
Yes.
And right now we're seeing how the people in South Fairbanks tried it and it got denied due to bad paperwork.
Yeah, so the South Fairbanks became, it got annexed eventually into the city. But the people who, they wanted South Fairbanks to be North Pole because they wanted to cash in on this. Mm-hmm. And they're like, wait. No, there is money to be made here. So Let's go a little further down the Richardson Highway. So two of the key people involved in this whole let's cash in on this North Pole idea further were Everett Dahl and Kenneth Gaskey. And they were they had formed the Dahl-Gaskey Development Company. Now, when I researched all of this and I first found that Bon Davis sold his homestead to these guys and they were going to start this whole North Pole thing, I thought that this was like some big company from the lower 48. And I never could find anything about this. And then I realized, no, this was two guys who had gotten stationed up here at Fort Wainwright, and they saw the potential to make some money. And so they formed this company. They went to Bon Davis, and they go, we want to purchase this part of your homestead. There was already a plat that had been done laying streets out. Mm-hmm. We want that, and we're gonna cash you out. And you have to go to the platting board or whoever it was they needed to go to and get this changed so that it's not going to be called what you wanted it to be called. It's going to be called North Pole. And they convinced Bon Davis to do this. Because Bon, he didn't have any money, yeah. You know.
Was it in the Squadron Club?
He was like, holy crap, I'm going to get some money. Bon ended up going to Nome. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's like, all right. Well, his son later said he sold it way too cheap.
Yeah.
But they bought him out. They bought out his interest in the homestead. And this was in February of 1952. As soon as they found out that that petition got denied for South Fairbanks, they jumped on this. They didn't waste any time. 10 days later, they opened the North Pole grocery store, and that was the first official business in North Pole. And so they got in there, and then their development company
at the southern intersection of Badger and the Richardson Highway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, which corner was it on? Who knows?
It was down there by where Santa Claus House used to be.
Okay.
And everything was right there. It was very small. Do you remember Cunningham's store?
Oh, yeah.
Was right by there, and the trading post, and all of that was just right there. That's where it all began, right in there. So this leads to the question, who are these guys? And Everett Dahl was born in Grangerville, Idaho. He was an Army veteran. He had his first wife was Beatrice, and his second wife was Dorothy. He was the first mayor of North Pole, and he died at the age of 88 in 2006 in Santa Rosa, California. Kenneth Gaskey was born 1923 in Zhytomyr, Russia. He was a machinist at Ladd Field. His wife's name was Phyllis. Him and Phyllis were both naturalized here in Fairbanks, and he died at the age of 79 in 2003 at Sunnyvale, California. I think Gaskey had the money, and Dahl was the idea man. Gaskey, you don't see too much about him in the papers, so that tells me that in this development company, he was the backer.
Yeah.
So it wasn't very long. It was only a couple months after North Pole was established or founded that all of a sudden Santa Land is appearing, and they're going to build it. They announce it, and they say it's going to be a fantasy land for children. It's going to be located on 5 acres of land. There will be no liquor or bars in the vicinity. Merchandise will be sold. Admission will be free, and the decor will be Mother Goose characters, elves, and gnomes. And, you know, think about a Santa Claus house today. I mean, you know, there's some of that in Santa Claus house that exists today.
Yep.
And this was where that first came from. So when we look at the big poll drop, the South Fairbanks petition, the City of North Pole petition to form a city, and Santa Land, there's the names of all these people who are involved, but there's some names that cross over all the way into those.
Yeah, and Dahl, Gaskey.
Yes.
Vance.
Yes, Myatt, Audrey Vance, who is yep. North Pole Nelly.
Granite.
Ethel Granite, yes.
McGrath.
Vera Myatt, yeah. So these are the people who were behind this whole, let's cash in on this North Pole thing. And they were the people who turned Bob Davis's homestead into this North Pole thing.
So,
and
yeah,
this
but-
Santa Land themed park slash business. So now we're going to talk about the Millers because, you know, the Millers are at the heart of Santa Claus House.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Con and Nellie Miller. And so people think, when they think North Pole Nellie, they think North Nellie Miller. But the first North Pole Nellie was actually Audrey Vance.
Yeah.
So you had these people who were the key players here. It was incorporated, and in 1953, 1 year after being founded, they incorporated, and they had their first election. It was held in Miller's Clothing Store. So Con and Nellie Miller established a store there. And when it was incorporated, 120 acres from the Davis subdivision, 80 acres of it was from the Ford homestead, and that was Grace and Jim Ford's. And it held between 50 and 60 families. So at this time, there were 9 businesses. In 1 year, 9 businesses were established, and 1 newspaper, the North Pole News. And Santa Claus House appears on July 10th, 1953. This is the first mention that I could find of Santa Claus House, and it was saying that there was a wedding held there. And Carol Julian DeArmond of North Pole was married to Daniel H. Waller, and the ceremony was performed by John Dickerson. And like I say, this is the first mention of Santa Claus House in a newspaper. So that was in July of 1953. The first mayoral election, Everett Dahl versus James Ford, was tied for mayor, and 2 of the council races had tie votes as well. A coin toss on October 8th, 1953, settled it. Now, that story ran nationwide in newspapers that North Pole, Alaska had an election and the mayor tied and the city council seats were all tied and they had to toss a coin to settle it. That was a national story. So then by November of 1953, now this is 2 years after that petition was denied to make North Pole out of the South Cushman area. 2 years later, North Pole is booming. And they put up a sign that says, now entering North Pole, Alaska, slow down to 25 miles an hour, because it was a stop on the Richardson. And by November 1953, they had a population of 1,500 within a 3-mile radius. They had established police and fire departments, planning and zoning, a building inspector, a grammar school with 3 teachers, 10 businesses in the city limits, a chamber of commerce, and the streets were all being named after Christmas theme names.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break with Joni Skillbred. Here we're talking about how North Pole, Alaska, and its theme came into being. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Auto Trim Design. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
It's Rat Pack with more than 700 varieties of quality cigars, classic cocktails, high-end pours, and your favorite local beers. That's what you'll find at Rat Pack. Check out their incredible humidor. Open Tuesday through Sundays on Old Airport Way, just past Fred Meyer West. It's the Rat Pack. This week, get a $50 gift certificate good for anything in the shop for half price. Our 50-50 Friday offer. It's Rat Pack.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
You can plan on it every day. You're either building something or you're repairing and adjusting stuff around the house. The list is long, from squeaking hinges to the annoying kitchen cabinet that refuses to stay shut. Well, there's always something, right? Sticky doors to the occasional wiring job and everything in between. You need tools, and Century Hardware has your back with the hand tools, power tools, and the largest selection of fasteners in the interior. Open every day. Century Hardware. What you need right now. Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy skies expected today, with daytime highs approaching 28. Northeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 23. Tonight, cloudy skies expected. Daytime highs approaching 36. Tomorrow, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have the incredible Joni Skillbred in the studio with me here. We're talking about North Pole and how it happened. And Joni, we're going to take a phone call real fast, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, this is Charles.
Hello, Charles.
Hey, that was a book, Neil Davis' book, Battling Against Success. A pile driver slew used to deliver logs from Sulta down the Chena to Fairbanks until they switched to reverse the flow of it to empty the upper Chena into the town out there where Moose Creek is, where Davis says somewhere. Davis' farm was on a old farm road, Allison Farm Road.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
So the city, in just 2 short years, so much got done there. And, you know, Everett Dahl, he's, you know, his first term of mayor. And in 1954, he'd been mayor for a couple years, he quit. And he resigned, and it was that the mayor had accused Charles Smith, the treasurer of the North Pole School Board, of holding up a assignment of the tobacco tax toward redemption of school bonds. And so the mayor was asked to resign for interfering in a school board matter. You know, and he kind of drew a line, a hard line, and they didn't agree with him, so he did. He resigned. He also went on, because now, you know, he still has other stuff to do. The Dahl Gaskey Development Company all of a sudden becomes the Dahl Development Company, and Gaskey's out of the picture now. And this is when they sold off they subdivided and sold off all the tracks at 15 and a half mile where I used to live.
Okay.
And it was during that time. So he's got real estate. He's got cafe. I believe that he owned the original Santa Claus house and that he leased it to the Miller family who purchased it from him. So, and they're in there, you know, they had a store, but then this gets turned into this Santa theme thing. Now, the Miller family was also cashing in on the Christmas thing before they had the full-blown Santa Claus house, and Nellie Miller and Con Miller. Con was dressing up as Santa and traveling around, and they were answering letters because they recognized the opportunity to cash in on this as well. And they ended up in the early version of the Santa Claus house. And if you look at what it was, the original building, you know, it just had like a false front on it. And
it was a general store.
It was a general store that got morphed into this Santa Claus house. Yeah. And
well,
so
they started out with a clothing store out there.
Yes.
Then it went into a general store.
Yes.
Then it came into, oh boy, we know what we're doing now.
Well, we're gonna have this whole Santa theme.
Yep.
Yeah. So then it has. Were you in Santa Claus House, the old one?
Yes.
The original one.
Yeah, but you know.
Yes. You would pull up in front of it, and it was unlike anything you ever saw anything around Fairbanks. It had neon lights that were real tacky, and it was so bright and colorful, and it was like the aurora going on, and it was all a false facade. And there were two wings coming off of the original part of the building, and I don't know if you remember it or not, but I remember going in there, and you felt like this was the grandest thing you'd ever seen. And you go in the door, and it had a sloping roof, and it was just pretty much one big room, and it was just filled
with
trinkets.
The Santa Claus house was on Santa Claus Lane.
It was, yes. And so then over time, it got more and more elaborate. They put on the candy stripe awnings. They put up a big billboard that had Santa's face on it and old English lettering. And then they put trim around the windows that looked like candy canes. Then they changed that and they made it red and white striped. And the northern lights on the two side wings and the front middle part, it was northern lights. And they had neon lights that were in these colored bands. And, I mean, it was really something to see. And then on the two wings on either side of the main entrance, there were murals. And quite frankly, I like the old Santa Claus house better than the new Santa Claus house.
The first one you were in. Come on.
I think it just had a certain something to
it. It didn't have all the trinkets in it like the new one does.
Oh, it had lots of trinkets in it.
But not like the new one does.
I have a tapestry that hangs on my wall that came from the old Santa Claus house.
The old one did not have reindeer turds.
No. Okay. No, it didn't. But the new one has murals on this on it. It still has some of the red and white candy stripe. The new building has evolved and changed amazingly over the years. Then it became North Pole. They got the whole town to become the Christmas-themed city.
What year did they put in the new Richardson Highway?
Oh, my gosh. I was like, that opened up like 1972?
Five-ish?
No.
72?
Yeah. Yeah. 72, 73, right around in there.
That's when the town really.
I remember all the accidents at Badger and the trying to cross the four lane. There were lots of fatalities there. Yeah.
Before the overpass.
Yeah. Yeah. So, going back to the dropping of the pole at the North Pole.
Back
to the
beginning.
In 1976, the North Pole pole was discovered laying in a junkyard around Fairbanks, and it was rusting and nasty. And it got taken and rehabilitated and resurrected. And in 1976, they placed that pole in a park. And Dermot Cole went and wrote this big thing in the paper how that pole is not the real one that was dropped at the North Pole. And it would be impossible to get that one that was dropped at the North Pole, and that that North Pole was rallying around the fake North Pole. Well, it didn't make any difference. And what they figured out later on was that there were actually two of them made, and this was the spare one. Mm-hmm. And that one, it comes from the same guy, the same era, and it is the one that's on display in North Pole.
Why was Dermot doing such a negative Nelly? Who knows?
I don't know. You know, whatever happened to North Pole Nelly, you know, and then there's negative Nelly.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's like every time North Pole, it seemed like they, you know, they claimed part of their history, he would go and try to correct them.
Yeah.
And I don't think that North Pole liked that very well. He wanted the record to be straight.
I would not think that they would.
But, I mean, and kudos to Dermot, you know. I mean, he was right in some stuff. But, you know, I mean, I'm sure that North Pole would have rather had a phone call rather than reading about it in the paper.
No false prophets before us.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
No offense, Dermot. So North Pole is still a tacky town. We got striped, candy-striped light poles, and the decorations are up, and Santa's everywhere. Santa's even on the North Pole City Council. You know, the Universal Welding, their sign, the big candy canes and everything. And then, to keep in the whole spirit of the thing, when I did this show, I ended it with images of the screaming weasel.
What
in the world is that? When you see it, you go, I don't even know what to think.
next to the
silver bullet, you know, the diner.
Ready for a quick phone call?
Sure.
You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Jim.
Hello, Jim.
Hi there. Hey, when they built the new Santa Claus house, I grew up in North Pole, so, and 15 and a half miles never had North Pole. And when they were building it, everybody kept going, why are they building it out here in the middle of nowhere? And that's when his son, Jerry Miller, was the lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
And as they're driving the last nails into the building, the paving machine is going across in front of the highway, across in front of the building. And then they had their big, you know, Santa Claus standing up there.
Mm-hmm.
Where they had that built. I guess Con Miller and the guy that built the thing got into an argument, and Con Miller wouldn't pay him for it. And the guy sat there and had one last thing to do, and it was just put the hand back on. So he put the hand back on.
I remember that.
And people for years and years had the Santa Claus sitting there flipping the bird off to everybody that drove
up. Okay, we got to go. Thank you. Thank you for the phone call. We got about 45 seconds left.
Yeah. So this was really a lot of fun to work on, and I learned a lot. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, North Pole is still there. Santa Claus house is still there, and it's going to stay there.
There you go.
Yes.
Joni, thank you very much for this very insightful, educational, and fun topic.
Yeah.
Great local history. Fairbanks, I will see you on Friday, and I'm going to have Sterling Gallagher. He was the Commissioner of Revenue I've had him on here a few times under Governor Jay Hammond, and he was the one who wrote everything, drafted the permanent fund, and we're going to talk about the permanent fund and then the permanent fund dividend.
Ooh.
So we'll start the fights, and I'll see you on Friday.